and welcome to Law Matters for another fortnight here on Noongar Radio 100.9 FM. Good to have your company, Jodie Hoffman with you for the next hour, and hope you can stay with us. A little later in this hour, we're going to be finding out all about the journey to recognition. Now, a lot of country areas and also here in Perth are going to find out more as a big mob of people make their way around the country. So today on the program, we're going to be chatting with a fella by the name of Peter Dawson, who is the Youth Engagement Coordinator with Recognise. He's also a Wiradjuri man from New South Wales, but known to many of our people here in Perth. So that's where he grew up, and we'll be finding out all about what is the journey to recognition, how can you get involved, and how can you find out more about it. It's really interesting stuff, so do stay tuned for that. Also on the program, exciting news for the mob here at Noongar Radio, because a prison documentary that they are involved in is actually a WA finalist in the forthcoming Community Broadcasting Association of Australia's awards. Michelle Wilson's popping into the studio. This is a first where we actually get to sit across from each other and have a yarn. And really great news for the mob at Noongar Radio, who have worked with Acacia Prison. And we'll find out more about that documentary and the process of making it, because I imagine that it was, a challenging role to actually be able to coordinate such an important project. And it's great that Noongar Radio is behind projects like this, and we look forward to finding out more about that. But first, let's have some music from the fantastic Jessica Malboy here on Noongar Radio 100.9 FM. You're with Jodie Hoffman on Noongar Radio, the Law Matters program, brought to you every fortnight by the Aboriginal Legal Service of Western Australia. And Noongar Radio reaching out further and further all the time, and not just broadcast in Perth, but a lot of our country areas, including Albany as well, which is fantastic. Well, at the top of the program, I mentioned the exciting news that a project that Noongar Radio has been involved in is a finalist in the upcoming Community Broadcasting Association of Australia's National Awards. Now, this is a really important documentary because it's about prison. And because of that, when I came across this media statement the other day, I thought, oh, what an opportunity to have a yarn with the mob from Noongar Radio on Noongar Radio about being a finalist in this. And absolutely thrilled to have Michelle Wilson in the studio. Hi, Michelle.
Good to be here, Jodie. Look, I don't do this that often.
We don't do this that often at all. And I don't even know how to introduce you, because everyone listening to Noongar Radio already knows you. But for the benefit of some new listeners, tell us about your involvement with the station here, and also your insight that you gain into prisons with the Request Show.
Well, Michelle Wilson, aka Big Girl, is my radio name. Definitely, I'm a producer, I'm a broadcaster here, I'm also a volunteer coordinator. So if you've got some time and you'd like to know a bit more about media or do some behind the scenes stuff, I'm the person to come and, you know, have a yarn with. Inside Out, been producing and hosting that on Sunday nights here, 3.5 years. Gee, getting up there, isn't it? It's getting old.
Oh, look, that show books up in advance, doesn't it?
It does, normally a week or two, and probably going to get even fuller because we're going now to Greenough and Albany as well. And hopefully it's going through the pipelines that the guys and girls in there are able to put requests on. So that's really exciting for them. It must be frustrating just hearing, you know, the ones from family and not being able to respond. Yeah. So hopefully that'll be up and running real soon.
You know, I remember in the old days when WAMA, the old WA Aboriginal Media Association, was broadcasting out of Wellington Street, 176 Wellington Street, and the Saturday night Request Show then, and come 2 o'clock on a Saturday afternoon, the fax machine was just going full on with the faxes coming in from all the prisons.
It's still happening.
It's just happening in different formats now, I guess, with technology, isn't it?
Definitely. Yeah, they're always packed, and, you know, the guys and girls on the inside absolutely adore the program, and they love it. They're always listening, you know. And we're not just talking about our mob, Jodie. Everyone. So it's a bit of a reconciliation cup there as well. Everyone listens.
You've done programs and visited the prisons. Why do you think the Request program, and also the link to all of our community through the power of radio is so important to people on the inside.
Well, Inside Out started out as just, you know, request a song for one of your peeps, but it's more than that now. Yeah. It's more than that because it means more to people sitting back doing time. Could be doing it really hard, you know, a spot of depression, not being able to connect with family, especially the guys and girls that are out of country. So we've got the SMS thing. So on a Sunday night, we get Mika Thara, you name it, up north, you know, texting in. So that's really, really good. But it's also got other things on there, such as specials, such as poetry, any events, any highlights of what's happening inside. So, yeah, some really good stuff.
What reception do you get when you head off to the prisons and pay a visit?
Oh, make my head go big. Like, well, can I give a quote from the super at Bandyup? She said, "You're like a rock star in here."
Oh.
And I'm like, go away. But, yeah, you can't let that go to your head, of course. I mean, at the end of the day, I'm just a person that loves what I'm doing. And we've got heaps of people in our community that are doing similar things to me. It's just they can't be heard on a radio station. But, yeah, it's always pretty good when I go in there. It's good to meet the guys and girls as well. And, you know, Black Flies, we like to put, you know, faces to the names and stuff like that. But, yeah, it's pretty inspiring. They inspire me just as much as I can inspire them.
I'm sure. So what drew you into the world of radio, Michelle?
Don't know, Joe. That's crazy. That's crazy stuff because I'm a singer and I'm
I know.
Qualified cook. And at the launch of Noongar Radio, you know, 4 years back, I was singing up on the stage there with a band and then ventured into the cafe next door, and the manager at the time approached me and said, "You ever done radio?" I said, "Go away. I'm quite a shy person. Public speaking, stuff like that. I've never been part of that." And I said, "Oh, no, you're right, girl." You know, and but then little persuasion from my old man. He's always good support. You know, your bloke's always pushing you to do some good things. And he said, "Ring her, find out a bit more." So I did. So here I am, and it's been fantastic. Radio is fantastic for confidence and self-esteem. You know, and it's just huge passion.
And you've rubbed shoulders and worked alongside some of the best in the industry, aka the awesome Mary G.
Oh, so the list goes on, you know.
The legendary.
Oh, I know. I've known old Mary for, you know, 30 years personally anyway. But, yeah, I know. Sometimes it's you sort of pinch yourself, Jodie, you know. So I always say, you know, it's really important not to let it all go to your head, you know, and go crazy with your ego and stuff like that. But, yeah, I'm blessed to have, with those high-profile people and also the people that I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, that's awesome too, just, you know, community people. That's just as good.
Absolutely. But you were a producer of the Mary G Show for a while, weren't you?
Yeah, love that. Love that. Kept me on my toes.
He's very cheeky. And at the
she,
NAIDOC,
you mean?
She at the NAIDOC ball. Oh my gosh. I wonder if those thongs are ever going to wear out.
Oh, I don't know.
Might have different colours, hey?
Must do.
Well, I think we should get on with talking about what we came in to talk about. And congratulations first to Noongar Radio, because it's not the first time you've actually been nominated for a CBWA, National Award. It's the Community Broadcasting Association of Australia. You guys grabbed an award the other year, didn't you?
We've only got one, Jo, and that was for Inside Out in 11. So, amazing.
All right. So, look, let's let people know a little bit about being a finalist in the upcoming Community Broadcasting Awards, which is coming up very soon, a collaboration between the mob here at Noongar Radio 100.9 FM and Acacia Prison is a finalist in these awards, and the broadcast, one of just four finalists in the most innovative outside broadcast or special event broadcast category, was a five-part restorative justice documentary called Gingincanum?
Yep, Gingincanum Court. Yeah, good spirits speaking truth from the heart.
Tell us how the project came to be and what it involved.
Firstly, from Acacia, they're fantastic. They really are. They approached us, you know, it's Restorative Justice Week, and my key player up there, I don't know if she's listening, is Kay at Acacia, who's the Indigenous Initiatives Coordinator there and does some great work for all Indigenous people, not just Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people, and said, oh, look, I want to do something. What can we do? So we always like pushing the needle a bit more, and we came up with a documentary series which would be not only recorded at the prison, which is unique in itself, but actually produced as well. So just laid some foundations and went up to the prison and just done a bit of a workshop on radio presentation, telling stories. And that went really well. But they're pretty good anyway. They're pretty good. Yeah, they've done really, really well.
For our regional listeners, Acacia Prison is a medium security prison that's about 50 kilometres east of Perth. Do you face a lot of logistics in trying to actually do something like this within a prison, with terms of, you know, permissions that need to be sought and liaising not just with the staff but the prisoners as well?
It's pretty full on. Everything, you know, all the boxes have to be ticked. Yep. We're currently doing our project for this Restorative Justice Week coming up in 2 weeks. But, you know, the passion is there for Acacia. I've got to give them, you know, 200% on that. And I believe with passion you can do anything. They drive it, so you've never had a problem. They're always very eager, and it was really good to speak to, you know, like the director up there and the next bloke down, knowing all these famous people, Jodie. It's really good. But it's really good, and I just, you know, have a bit of a yarn with them and just let them know how important it is, you know, for our mob on the inside to be part of the community.
Okay. We're going to have some music and return with Michelle Wilson in a moment. Stay tuned. This is Noongar Radio on 100.9 FM. This is the Law Matters program, and today in the studio having a chat with Michelle Wilson from Noongar Radio about a documentary that was made about prison as part of Restorative Justice Week, and it broadcast in November last year but is up for an award for the Community Broadcasting Association of Australia's National Awards that are being announced in the next week or so. So we'll have to stay tuned and find out how that pans out. But Michelle, part of making the project involved you actually getting into the prison and running some workshops. Tell us about that.
That was awesome. I wish I could do them all the time. It'd be great to get more people from the inside coming in and volunteering. Let's hope that they do that. It was really good. The guys were really, they really grabbed on it. They thought it was fantastic. It's something different, I think. Obviously, they're doing education and their own programs for themselves, but, you know, doing a radio presentation was really good, and they got an opportunity to do some exercises and, you know, go in teams, and then we listened to the final product, and they done really, really well. So they participated really well. There's even a couple of staff members there as well, because they're not just the inmates who in the documentary, but the staff as well. And we reversed it a bit, and a couple of the inmates actually interviewed the staff about the restorative justice programs that they do, which was really good. It was absolutely fantastic. It would be great to run, but it's kind of stale now and it might be outdated. But yes. It's too late. You missed it. But it ran over the whole week, so it was a 5-part, and each part went for about 10 minutes. It started off with, this is Restorative Justice Week, and a welcome to country in language. And I can mention his first name, Peter, done a fantastic job on it. And very touching, emotional, but very clear on what restorative justice actually is. So, yeah, it was very emotional, but I think it was really good, and I know that it was really good for a lot of our listeners because they actually gave feedback, and we passed that on to Acacia Prison. But, you know, some of the things we got back, Jodie, was like, they're scumbags. I always thought that anyone in prison would be that, but now I realise that they're in there, okay, they've committed a crime, But they're making amends and they want to come out as a better person. Just, yeah, mind-blowing stuff.
So that was some feedback that you got sent into the program.
That was a feedback. It was blunt. It was blunt. So just from listening to that, we actually had people switching around with their perceptions of prison life and the prisoners themselves.
And you know what's funny? I mean, with something like radio, quite often you only get feedback when it's negative or if people don't like what they hear or they want to challenge what you've said. For people to actually go, wow, I want to positively contribute to that, speaks volumes, doesn't it?
It definitely does. And one of the other comments we got is, you know, we thought people locked up had no hearts, but it was all there, you know. There was one guy, he might be listening, Joey, if you are, you know, he opened that week up and just was so raw and so real, and he left a message, you know, I've been in jail for 20 years, don't be like me. And he gave, you know, some tips to people, you know, don't walk down that path, you know, you will devastate your family and families that are affected by your crime. It was really...
And it sounds as though the process of this and presenting it as a five-part series over the week, it humanised the issue, isn't it? I mean, people imprisoned are not numbers, they're not statistics, they're actual people, they're mothers, fathers, sons, daughters, and it is really important to see that everybody has their own story to tell. Everyone has different circumstances that have led them to being in that situation for now. But people turn the corner and get themselves on track. And I guess there'd be a lot of people who sort of can educate the broader community from the inside as to, hey, don't judge, because walk a mile in my shoes and you might actually get a different understanding about the human side of it, which is what indicates that some of the comments you've received are about, hey?
Definitely. And, you know, we split it up into five bits because there were five actual programs that we wanted to, you know, let people know about and, you know, speak with the prisoners and who have participated in all those programs. And the Sycamore Tree Project was the first one that aired, and you were just talking about this kind of stuff. But, yeah, it's where offenders speak with victims of crime to better understand the damage caused by a criminal act. So, you know, that's face-to-face, not with the actual victim themselves, but someone who's has been through a similar, you know, crime experience. But, yeah, absolutely fantastic. Also, there was an Alternatives to Violence project that we covered as well. The Safe Avon Valley, which involved prisoners retraining neglected and abandoned dogs. Dogs walking around the prisons. I mean, oh, my God. But and they love those dogs. They love those dogs, you know. And that's a program where they get certified and stuff like that. There was also OutCare's Aboriginal Employment Program. So getting them ready to work and stuff like that. And Storybook Dads, which I absolutely love, where a father records a bedtime story for their children and they put on a CD, and the artwork on the cover, everything is from the father. So just to maintain those family bonds, you know.
Wow. I can see you when you're talking about it, Michelle, that it it's left a really big impression on you, being part of this.
It's awesome. And, yes, I thank Keisha. I thank Serco. They've been fantastic. Look, you never have to twist their arm, put it that way. They're really good. Can we talk about this year's project?
We can, after we find out when the announcement is going to be made for this year's CBAA Awards. So remember that this doco that we've been talking about is a finalist in the upcoming Community Broadcasting Association of Australia's National Award. So programs would have been sent in from all over the country. So what happens next? You got the letter in the mail. It's a finalist. What happens now?
Sydney.
Ooh, when?
Next Saturday, the 16th.
Oh, very soon.
So there's four finalists in that category.
Yes.
With Acacia and Noongar Radio. And it was going to be a bit of a competition because the other one's from a Father's Day broadcast at Penrith.
Ooh.
So, ooh.
Yeah.
I think people are getting, you know, getting the word out that it's, you know, these things really have to be done within prisons or somewhere where you can't really access all the time, you know.
And it shows, doesn't it, when you've got programs of this calibre being put in, that it's a really strong focus. And it's great to see that not only Noongar Radio but other places and community broadcasters around the country, whether they're Indigenous or mainstream, are also focusing on issues that are really important.
Definitely.
Are you cruising to Sydney for it?
Yep.
Who's going over?
Kay from Acacia,
and Michelle from on our radio.
Anchor. We're going over there. Our chairperson's going over there because she's done some fantastic documentaries. She's done 30. Oh, no, she did that. 30 documentaries. I did 5. 30 on the ear health of Indigenous children. And can I mention, that was Carol Dowling, of course, our chairperson for Noongar Radio, who's also a finalist in the Human Rights Award in the radio category for that particular series. So, yeah, fantastic. And can't forget our Smash Crew, our sports program, which airs here on Saturday morning. They're also in the Excellence of Sports programming.
Oh,
so
wow.
So it's great stuff, isn't it?
You know, 4 years ago, this station was just getting restarted and up and running again, and it's just going from strength to strength, isn't it?
It's awesome. Love it.
All right. We'll leave this award for now, but congratulations on being a finalist, and to everyone involved in the project. Absolutely awesome. Let's wish you all the best for Sydney on the 16th, but talk about what's happening this year as well now.
So, you know how I said we like to go a different way and do something people don't expect us to do. Well, that's Acacia and Noongar Radio. This year we're doing an online art auction as a fundraiser. All the paintings are donated by Acacia Prison, and the proceeds will be going to the Princess Margaret Hospital Foundation, Jodie.
Beautiful.
Isn't that fantastic? Now, that's a part of Restorative Justice Week, of course, which runs from the 17th of November for the week. But I am hoping that people will go to noongarradio.com, because we're actually going to have it all on our website, and do some bids from the 17th of November. And it's called Art for Heart's Sake.
Nice.
Very nice.
Okay, can I have a look at that?
Yeah, so our little flyer.
Art for Art's Sake. You're getting very organised. What an awesome flyer as well. So go to the Noongar Radio website, www.noongarradio.com. Online art auction fundraiser.
You can see some of the pictures there. Oh,
these
you just see
pictures
those.
Pictures are incredible.
You're one of the first people to see it. So how we're setting that up, Jodie, is we're having a week of viewing from this Sunday, the 10th, and then the following Sunday, which is the beginning of Restorative Justice, we'll have the bidding online just for 48 hours.
Okay.
So people got plenty of time to go and have a look from this Sunday
at all
the paintings, and we'd love your support. It's a great cause, and the beneficiary was actually picked out by the prisoners themselves. That's where they want the money to go.
Isn't that fantastic?
Awesome.
Once again, highlighting the importance of family and looking after our kids and keeping kids well and healthy, hey?
Exactly.
Michelle, fantastic. People do log on to Noongar Radio. You can log on to it any time, but all the information about the art auction will be up from this Sunday. And do check it out and support it. I've just had a flick through a couple of these pages, and the paintings that have been donated by Acacia are just absolutely phenomenal. Online Art Auction Foundation. Even the flyer that's been put together, the artwork is just incredible.
It features one of the paintings, you know, that's going to be up for auction. I think I'm going to bid for that one, Jodie.
It's just
awesome.
Wow, there's a lot of talent out there. Michelle, I could talk to you all day.
Thanks, Jodie. We'll let you go.
We've got to go and do something else. But congratulations with the doco, and looking forward to the online auction. Check out the website on Sunday, everyone, and raising money for a great cause as well, the Princess Margaret Hospital.
Thanks, Jodie, and thanks for having me on Law Matters.
Oh, you're welcome anytime. Michelle Wilson, no stranger to any of you listening, I'm sure. This is Noongar Radio, 100.9 FM. Coming up in a couple of minutes, chatting with the young fella by the name of Peter Dawson. A big mob of people are making their way around the country at the moment for the journey to recognition. Stay tuned. This is Noongar Radio. You're listening to Law Matters, brought to you each fortnight by the Aboriginal Legal Service of Western Australia. Jody Hoffman with you this hour, and hope you're enjoying the program. And going to talk about something now that no matter where you are around the country, I'm sure that you are going to be hearing more and more about this. And I'm talking about the Journey to Recognition. Now, the Journey is an epic relay across the country to recognise Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples in the Constitution. Everybody is heading over here to the West. It's going to be a very big time, and you can head along and meet people and share in barbecues and getting together and having a yarn. And to tell us more about it is a fella by the name of Peter Dawson, who is the Youth Engagement Coordinator with Recognise. And he's on the phone from Sydney, but known to many of our people here in Perth. How are you going, Peter?
Hi, I'm great. Thanks for having me. How are you?
Oh, very good, Pete. Pete, before we get on to talk about the Journey to Recognition, you're in Sydney now, but you're a Wiradjuri fella, but grew up here in Perth.
Yeah, that's right. My family are from Wagga Wagga and Coolamin in New South Wales, but I grew up in Fremantle most of my life and went to school and uni there, and most of my friends and family are still back over in the West, so I'm missing it a bit, but I'm living in Sydney now.
Okay, so I think the last time we spoke to you on Law Matters, it would have been in relation to some sort of legal forum, I imagine, because you're involved in the law as well, hey?
Yeah, I'm a law student, and I've got about a year left of my studies, but I think last time we spoke, I was working on a forum that we held in Fremantle a couple of years ago.
Okay, so what lured you over to Sydney?
I came over just for a change because I grew up in Fremantle and was wanting to experience something different, and also to work on this campaign to recognise Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people in the Constitution, which is a once in a lifetime opportunity. And when you get the chance to work on changing the Constitution, you jump at it. So yeah, I sort of came over for work and just for new opportunities and different experience.
So you are the Youth Engagement Coordinator with Recognise. Tell us more about Recognise, what it is, what it was set up for, and its role in this.
Yeah, sure. So we're the group running the campaign towards the referendum to recognise Indigenous Australians in our Constitution. And Recognise was set up after the expert panel did their consultations around the country and gave their recommendations to the government on what we would change in the Constitution and how we'd go about it. And one of the recommendations was to have a public education and awareness program or campaign. So that's where Recognise comes in. And so we've got the job of convincing the majority of Australians that this is the right thing to do and that they should vote yes to the referendum.
So how many people are involved with Recognise?
We're a small team based out of Sydney, and we get around a fair bit. We've been doing this Journey to Recognition all across the country. So we've been in a lot of different states and territories, but we're based in Sydney, around 12 people. And we really rely on the support that we have from Indigenous and non-Indigenous organisations around the country to put the message out and get their members and employees and supporters signed up. So we're a very small team, but we're having a pretty big impact so far. We've got around 160,000 supporters, and that's growing every day. And we're working towards a referendum on this issue in a couple of years. So there's a bit of time left yet, but next year will be really the year that the campaign ramps up.
And how many people are participating in the Journey to Recognition, Pete?
We have a rolling team that goes on and off the road. So the journey, we started in Melbourne and we walked from Melbourne to Adelaide, which took a couple of months, and we stopped in each community as we go and talked to people about this issue and why it's so important to recognise Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people in our founding document. And we sort of build that grassroots support as we go, because we realise that doing stuff on social media and TV and all of that is great, but you really need to have those face-to-face conversations with people and get feet on the ground so they understand why this is important and hear from Aboriginal people ourselves about, why we're passionate about this. And non-Indigenous people. So we've been doing that. We got to Adelaide, and then we came up through the centre of the country to Alice Springs and Uluru, and we had an Indigenous cycling team ride from Alice to Katherine. Pretty full on in the heat. And then we arrived at the Garma Festival in Northern Territory in Arnhem Land earlier this year, welcomed by the Noongar people. So that was the first leg of our journey. We had a bit of a rest, and now we've headed west and I just got back from the Kimberley leg of, in Broome and up the peninsula above Broome, which was great. We came down through the Pilbara and we're heading towards Perth.
Well, wow, pretty exciting stuff. So what's the main mode of transport? You mentioned cycling and walking. Obviously, huge distances you're covering. Does the odd aeroplane or car come into it as well?
Cars definitely. Most of it is driving. So the first leg was a lot of walking. And since then, especially in the hotter months where we're doing a lot of driving, the Kimberley leg that I was on, was a lot of four-wheel driving up the peninsula and on dirt tracks and blew a few tyres, which was good fun.
Well, it's part of it, isn't it?
Yeah, all part of the journey.
So what sort of response have you been getting when you're stopping and having a yarn with communities and Aboriginal and non-Aboriginal people? Are people interested and receptive to the idea of it?
Yeah, definitely. We've got a huge amount of support in each community as we've been through, and a lot of community organisations sort of jump on board and host us and really help get the word out within their networks. And generally, people are really supportive. There's actually a pretty big lack of awareness that this is happening. So most people haven't heard about the current campaign to recognise Aboriginal people in the Constitution and Torres Strait Islander people, and they that once they hear about it, they're usually pretty supportive. And a lot of people sort of say this is a no-brainer. It should have been done 110 years ago when our Constitution was created. And actually, a lot of people sort of think that Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people are recognised. They didn't think it was an issue. There's a bit of confusion out there about what the 67 referendum did and how that relates to our campaign. But we've had a really, really warm reception in every community as we go, and this movement's building and people are hearing about it and thinking about what the moment will be like in a couple of years on a Saturday morning when we go to the polls and vote on this issue, and how important it will be for our country to finally recognise our true history and start moving forward together.
And how did it come to be the people who are taking part in the journey to recognition, Pete? Is it people from across the country or predominantly Sydney-based?
Our team's from all over the country.
Yep.
We've got people from New South Wales, from WA and Victoria. The people that joined us on the journey as volunteers or people that sort of come on with an organisation, often they're from the local area that we're travelling through at the time. We have a range of different people, Indigenous and non-Indigenous, both in our team and supporters that jump on board and from all walks of life. It's really interesting, you know, go through some farming communities and they put on a barbecue, the local farmers, and people come around and talk about the issue. And there's a lot of goodwill out there and support for this issue, I think.
Look, it's a wonderful way to canvass public opinion and to sort of get out amongst the people and find out what people are thinking. And have you been videoing the proceedings along the way?
Yeah, we have. We have some really fantastic videos up on our YouTube channel that you can check out. The most recent one is our entry into the Kaama Festival and our welcome from the Yolngu people, which is really moving and a fantastic little film. And there's other ones from different parts of the journey that we've been on, and we're just about to release the one from the Broome and Kimberley leg, so that'd be great to keep an eye out for as well.
Oh, fantastic. It sounds like you've been very warmly welcomed around the country, which is huge. So the mob are up in Kimberley now, but heading south. There's too many names to mention of some of the places you're stopping, and at the end of this interview, Pete, we'll give out the website for people to find out more information. But we can mention that they'll be heading to Meekatharra this month during November, and to Carnarvon, and a whole lot of places. Too many to look.
Yeah,
I'm going to leave places out, so we give out the information at the end of this. But has it exceeded your expectations in terms of the success of it and bringing communities together, Pete?
Yeah, it has. I mean, I first heard about this issue, I think when I was at law school, and it was sort of shocking to me that as a younger kid, I didn't, you know, learn at school about the founding document of our country and that it doesn't say anything about the first Australians. And I think, you know, it's it's such an important issue, and when you do learn about it, it just makes sense, and it's the right thing to do. And I mean, we can overthink this sort of thing, and there's plenty of legal minds out there that are looking at the recommendations and playing around with the wording and everything that will actually change for the constitution. But at its heart, for me, and why it's so important, is actually not the words that will change in the constitution. It's the chance we have with this referendum to get all Australians out of their homes voting on recognising Indigenous Australians, and that's an opportunity to build those stronger relationships and build trust and start sort of healing some of the wounds that have been inflicted on our people for so long. So I think this is something that a lot of people will get behind, and it's a simple thing to do, but it's a very powerful thing to do.
Yeah, and look, it's incredible that it's got to 2013 and our mob are still not recognised in the Constitution, but it seems like a change is a-coming. What do you reckon?
Yeah, I reckon we can get there, and I reckon we can beat the result we got at the 67 referendum. It was most successful in Australia's history. We had over 90% of Australians vote yes back then to remove some of the negative references to Aboriginal people in the Constitution, but that left this gaping hole in our founding document where there's now no mention of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people. So I think we can aim for the same result here. We shouldn't just want to get over the line to 50-51%. We should actually aim for that 90% and get the majority of Australians actually making that gesture of goodwill to finally recognise the special place that the first Australians hold in this country. And also removing the racist sections that are still in our constitution. There's still sections in there that talk about banning races from voting, and there's still a power for the government to make laws about a race that can be positive or negative laws. And, we're the only modern democracy in the world that has these sort of sections in our constitution that talk about race, so it's time to remove those as well and protect all Australians from racial discrimination so we can, grow up as a country and actually call ourselves a modern democracy in the 21st century.
And is the work of our people today that is going to lead to a better and more equitable future, Pete? And what future do you think that Recognise can play a part in that?
Yeah, I think this is going to be a huge moment in our history, and what we make of it is really up to us. I think it would have made a huge difference to me growing up in Frio in a school with not that many Indigenous kids. It would have been a huge difference to me if the first time my classmates heard the word Aboriginal and Indigenous was in the sort of words of pride and respect in our constitution rather than a racist joke or a news story. I think we can't really measure what impact this might have for future generations, and the opportunity to, write a new story that we can all be a part of and all believe in. Especially for the next generation, and that's why I'm involved in the youth arm of the campaign, is actually getting the next generation of young Indigenous and non-Indigenous leaders working together and figuring out that relationship and getting it right from the start, because the relationships are pretty broken at the moment, and I think this is an opportunity to mend some of them.
Okay, so the Journey to Recognition currently making its way south from the Kimberley. When and where will it end, Pete?
So this next leg will end in Perth. So we arrive in Perth on the 1st of December with a big arrival event at Collinsville Beach. And then we'll have a bit of a break. And after that, we'll be heading back east and trying to cover off the rest of the country that we haven't been to yet.
Okay. Well, congratulations to everyone. And it sounds like there's been a heap of support for the Journey to Recognition wherever it has turned up around the country. Is it too late for people to get involved in a support capacity, or can people join in and journey with you?
Yeah, definitely. Head to the website. It's recognise.org.au and follow the links to the Journey page. And you'll see that we're having events in every community that we stop in. Some of the big sort of spots that are jumping out at me, just looking at the list now, we're coming through Carnarvon and Geraldton, Kalgoorlie, Coolgardie, Northam, check on the Journey website and see what the event in your area is and come and show your support. It'd be great to have people from the West jump on board and make these events really big and get people signed up. So and it's a great opportunity to ask the people that are working closest to the campaign what it's about, and if you've got any tough questions that you want answered, then it's a great opportunity to go along and ask them.
All right. Peter, thanks for chatting with us on Noongar Radio today. Peter Dawson is the Youth Engagement Coordinator with Recognise. More information on recognise.org.au. Good luck with the rest of the trek, Pete. Take it easy, and great to chat with you again on Noongar Radio.
Yeah, you too. Thanks so much for having me.
That wraps up our program for this week.